Hey, we've welcomed a lot of cool folks to Minnesota Reads here on Northland Morning, but today we are honored and humbled and just a tiny bit starstruck to welcome Dudley Riggs to our airwaves. Not only the famous theater guy, not only the famous circus guy, but the author of a book called Flying Funny, My Life Without a Net. Mr. Riggs, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, good morning indeed. It is a lovely Minnesota day.
Your book is so fascinating. Who would have thunk that you were born into a circus family, aerialists, Riggs and Riggs? I suppose that when you grow up in that environment, it sort of seems like, okay, this is what my family does. But did you ever at some point say, I don't want to go up way high and jump off things. I want to be an accountant or something.
Well, I have a feeling that I was born into the family business. And, three generations of people who fly through the air in the aerial work. And it was just sort of, if I had been born on a farm, I would have probably been learning how to milk cows, but instead I learned how to fly.
Well, my father was born on a farm, and he fled the farm as fast as he could. But being an aerialist and working in the circus didn't frighten you, apparently.
No, it just seemed like it was what my family had been doing for two generations before, and so I sort of fell right into the pattern and enjoyed it for quite a number of years. But eventually I decided I wanted to try doing something that involved speaking rather than just being viewed. Most of the circus activity is something that you go and see, but you don't really talk to. And so I wanted to be able to present an idea to the audience and be able to use some of the audience's ideas as well. So that's what moved me.
Tell me a little bit, though. I've got to ask you about the name of your book, Flying Funny. Where did that come from?
Well, it really is. It really came from a choice, because as I was flying, being an aerialist and flying on the trapeze, and I was in my late teens. And my coach told me one day, he said, you know, you're getting too tall. You're not going to be able to do this because you're going to be too tall to be able to tuck up. And so he said, you probably ought to stick with flying, the comedy kind of flying, and not try to be, thrill people with your flying. And so I eventually discovered I had to either make a choice to either fly in the air or to try and do the funny act. And that's so I made the choice. And that's worked very well for me.
It certainly has. Now, before we talk a little bit about some of your other accomplishments in the entertainment field, this was something I did not realize. You caused an international incident at one point in your life, and you may have been responsible for truly significantly changing relations with Japan and this country. Tell us about that.
Well, the U.S. government suggested that in Japan, right after the war, they wanted to try and establish the new constitution. And one of the things they decided to do was to bring some American culture into Japan. And they already had baseball, so they decided, well, the next best thing would be the circus. And so we brought the All-American Circus into Tokyo for about 1.5 million people. And during that time, unfortunately managed to commit a faux pas, and that was by approaching and touching, shaking hands with a member of the royal family, which had never happened before. And so it created a considerable stir, and for a few days it looked like I might be end up in Japanese prison. And so, but they were, after a while, it turns out that the royal family issued a bulletin saying that this was not an insult to Japan, that this was Japan reaching out to the West. And it created a whole new attitude between the standoffish and rather forbidden rituals with the emperor.
There's a wonderful photograph. You describe the incident, and there is a wonderful photograph of you shaking his hand, and he's in a line sort of where you were kind of shaking hands with everyone. And was it his wife who you mentioned was just giggling? You know, you shook his hand, and she was laughing. And
that was the sister of Akihito, and she was doing that kind of laugh that is so marvelous that Japanese women, when they sort of cover their face slightly. It was a marvelous moment for me, but then it, of course, was immediately... I was scolded, essentially, by the Japanese Secret Service.
No one touched a member of the royal family.
In terrible trouble.
At that point, no one touched a member of the royal family, and yet this turned out to be kind of a win-win for everyone. Let's talk, I guess, I can't help but ask you, given the end of the Ringling Brothers Circus this past week, this must be breaking your heart.
Well, it is a sad thing in the sense that Ringling, by taking bankruptcy, sort of destroyed the brand a little bit. But the reality is that the circus will continue. The Ringling Circus will be gone, but there are many other circuses, and it's thriving in Europe, and the small circuses are still doing very well in the United States, but the so-called big one, as we always said, RB&B, they have had chosen to kind of kill the brand, and that's unfortunate because the actors will continue to perform in other circuses, and so it's... I don't see this as the death knell of the circus. I just think it's unfortunately at this point the word circus has been purloined by so many other uses, and politics has sort of corrupted the word. So anyway, the great American circus will continue, and I'm confident of that.
And those are wonderful words to hear. The final thing I'd like to ask you about is your very last chapter of the book. I read your very last chapter, and I cried, because that's just how I roll. You still enjoy heights very much. And you kind of indicated, I wasn't sure if it was metaphorically or actually speaking, that given the opportunity, you would like to fly again.
Well, of course. Yes. So there is nothing that matches the ebullience that comes from being able to fly and to be able to create those moments when the audience will gasp. You, if an audience is able to have a universal in-breath, if everyone gasps at the same time, I am thrilled by the idea that I can hear the audience. I'm almost controlling the breathing of the audience, and because they're all breathing in unison. So there are some wonderful feelings I've never been able to duplicate in other activity. That I've tried, but I haven't. Nothing really matches flying.
So if somebody offered you, if a small circus came to town and they offered you the opportunity, hey, you want to take a swing or two on the trapeze, you'd probably choose the net, though, right? Right? Just to be on the safe side?
Oh, of course. Well, I'm considerably older and heavier than I was when I was flying. But I think in terms of my attitude and my spirit, I still was able to bring that back and to enjoy it. It's very quiet moments when I'm thinking about aerial work. So,
quiet moments and quiet up high. Well, you've been flying funny and living without a net for a long, long time, and maybe the audiences aren't gasping, but you have made so many wonderful, memorable moments for audiences over the years, and a whole new audience going to enjoy your book. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Mr. Dudley Riggs, our guest this morning on Minnesota Reads, his book, Flying Funny, My Life Without a Net. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.